Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine just what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have this on the line, Colonel Ron Ray, who's a retired Marine Corps colonel. He was Undersecretary of Defense during the Reagan administration. He has extensive experience in constitutional law, and we're going to be talking today about the very obvious effort on the part of men who really would destroy the Christian or Judeo-Christian or religious foundation of this country. They have an agenda, because they realize that in America, different than any other nation, our freedoms are acknowledged to come from God. That's what it says in the Declaration of Independence. No other nation has ever said that their freedom came from God, and then devised a system of government to protect those God-given rights, except in America. And that's why it is so important for those who would establish, in my estimation, a totalitarian dictatorship to destroy the Christian foundation of this nation, so that we can't even acknowledge this in our schools. And with that as a background, Colonel, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, it's great to be with you again, Stan. It's always a pleasure.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about this case that's going to the Supreme Court now, being backed by the enemies of Christianity, the anti-Christian bigots that are out there. But they seem to almost have everything going in their side, on their direction.
Well, I'd like to start off with a former librarian of the Library of Congress, Daniel J. Boorstin. He wrote a book in 1961 that didn't get a lot of attention, called The Image, A Guide to Pseudo-Events in America. Now, this was the man who was librarian of the Library of Congress, a historian, perhaps the most important historian in the country at any one time, because he actually provides the answers historically out of the Library of Congress for the lawmakers, the senators, and the congressmen. And this is a quote from his book, published in 1961, Americans live in a world of pseudo-facts, which is created for them by their own media. Pseudo-facts. Well, next Wednesday, there's going to be a pseudo-event. We're going to have an oral argument in the U.S. Supreme Court over the so-called right to the Ten Commandments, of whether or not there's something in the religion clauses of the First Amendment which make it against the Constitution, unconstitutional, to display the Ten Commandments in schoolhouses and courthouses. And the two cases involve one that's coming out of Texas over a monument on public ground in the state of Texas, in which the appeals court said the monument could stay, and a case coming out of McCreary County, Kentucky, in which the lower court and the Sixth Circuit said that you could not display historical documents on the walls of courthouses and schoolhouses, including the Declaration of Independence.
And of course, because the Declaration of Independence mentions that freedom comes from our Creator, that freedom comes from God. So there is an agenda out there. They know exactly what they're doing. Isn't it interesting that the average American isn't hearing about this vitally important case that's going to be heard before the Supreme Court? It's almost as if somebody is controlling what we're hearing and reading and seeing, and ultimately what we believe.
Probably will be some attention paid, and I don't know if we need to take a break right now.
We have to take a break. We'll be right back in just a moment with Colonel Ron Ray. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty and coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray, who is formerly Undersecretary of Defense, or Assistant Secretary, pardon me, Undersecretary, of, I guess Assistant Secretary of Defense. Was that your title? Or?
Yeah, that's correct. Undersecretaries or anybody under the Secretary of Defense is a generic term.
All right, fine. In the Reagan administration, and of course he's a retired Marine Corps colonel, he is deeply involved in many legal cases having to do with preserving the basic rights of our people, the religious and moral standards of our people, because they are under attack today. And we were just talking about this case that's going to be coming up before the Supreme Court very soon, where they're going to be arguing whether the Ten Commandments and even the Declaration of Independence can be publicly displayed in government buildings because, of course, it mentions that terrible word, God.
Well, it's an interesting thing. There will be the news attention paid next Wednesday when the oral argument occurs, and the Attorney General of Texas will represent Texas, and there's two cases consolidated for hearing. And the Liberty Council, a man named Matt Staber, will represent McCreary County, Kentucky. And again, I want you to know that you will not hear that what they're really discussing is whether in the guise of the religion clauses, the establishment of religion clauses from the First Amendment, we can actually be cut off from the foundation documents and the foundation principles and and the official and permanent history of American civil government, because they all mention God, Almighty God, the Lord. Some of them even mention Jesus Christ. If these documents can by alchemy, can magically, by the media and the indoctrination of the people, can be converted into religion. And for the last 60 years, Stan, since 1941, when there began to be a series of cases decided in the Supreme Court where we were separating not church and state, which was the phrase that was used in Everson back in 1941, we've been separating God from government under a false notion from a Thomas Jefferson letter when he was president of the United States to the Danbury Baptist, which used the phrase separation of church and state. But we've separated God from government, and America's been one nation under God since its founding period. What the media won't tell you, they won't really tell you that the excerpt from the Declaration of Independence was under attack. The national motto, In God We Trust, adopted by Congress back in 1956, was under attack. The preamble to the Constitution of Kentucky, which says our political and our religious rights and our governmental rights come from God. They won't tell you that the congressional record, the Ten Commandments, was not up as a religious document. It was an actual page from the congressional record.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray. And you know, there's a song. It's though thus be it ever, when the free man shall stand between his loved home and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may this heaven-blessed land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when the cause is just, but this be our motto, when God is our trust, and the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave. Or the land of the free and the home of the brave. And that's one of the things that they didn't want displayed, because it mentioned God. And you don't hear that sung in America any place, any time. Now, why? Because I believe there's a conspiracy against God.
Well, there's no question that there have been powerful groups, secret societies, powerful individuals. I think the way Franklin Roosevelt wrote to his good friend Colonel Mandel House in 1933 in November, during the first year he was in the White House, he wrote a letter. I have a copy of that letter. I think I sent a copy of it to you. And we both probably got it from Dr. Cuddy, who got it out of the Roosevelt Library. And it basically said in this very personal letter to a man that was helped him be elected president, and Mandel House controlled Woodrow Wilson, was sort of an unofficial chief of staff to Woodrow Wilson the 8 years he was president of the United States. And what he said, Roosevelt said to House in this letter, there's a financial element in the larger centers which has owned the government since the days of Andrew Jackson, the administration of W.W. notwithstanding, and the fight going on over the New Deal now is not unlike Jackson's fight with the bank.
And if any of you would like a copy of that letter, actually, I have a copy. In fact, I found a copy. Dr. Cuddy got it out of Roosevelt's papers. I got it out of Colonel House's papers. And we'll make that available to any of you out there free of charge, as the President of the United States says, as you and I know. The financial element in certain centers has controlled the government of the United States since the days of Andrew Jackson. And I'm not excluding the regime of WWW. So they've known this, but you see, the average American doesn't understand this. They don't understand there really are wicked and evil people out there who have an agenda, and that is the destruction of America as a free and noble nation.
Well, let me just give you what won't be said. Again, this will sound like the concession that's being made by the attorneys, and because this is what the attorneys have been taught in law schools for much of the 20th century, so that the plaintiff's attorney, the attorneys, the petitioner's attorneys, the ones who are supposed to be defending the right to display the Ten Commandments as the, because the Ten Commandments is the precedent legal code upon which American law and civil government are based. Now, I want you to make that clear. A lot of your listeners probably hear the Ten Commandments and they think religion. They say that's a religious document. Well, I can assure you, depending on which denomination of Christianity, or whether you're a Protestant or a Catholic, whether you a Muslim, or whether you're a various denomination of Judaism, or Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, what have you, they would differ between themselves in a society like America. The religious significance of the Ten Commandments could be debated and would be argued about. But there was a time prior to Roosevelt's administration, certainly prior to World War II, most Americans understood that our laws and form of civil government came from fixed principles from the Old and New Testament, and largely from the Ten Commandments.
And, of course, if you can destroy the Ten Commandments as the foundation of our law, you destroy the law and you end up with moral anarchy, which is exactly what these people want. Because whose values will there be? There will be no values other than that of the dictator.
Well, if there's a book that it would be very important for your listeners to be familiar with, and that would be Paul Fisher's book, Behind the Lodge Door.
Which we incidentally do carry through our ministry, so if anybody would like to get it, Paul Fisher's Behind the Lodge Door. Why is that book important?
Well, that book documents, Paul Fisher was a Catholic journalist who saw the unfolding of a series of Supreme Court opinions that were supposed to be construing the religion clauses of the First Amendment, which were hostile to God and practices, and that began in 41 through the Everson case in 1947, McCollum versus Board of Education in 48, Tarasco versus Watkins in 61, Engle versus Vitale in 62, where 6-3 Supreme Court ordered the prayer out of public schools, where it had been in America for over 350 years, without citing a single precedent. Abington versus Shimp the next year in 63, the Bible was taken out of public schools, where it had been since the Mayflower, and Lemon versus Kurtzman in 1971. And what he documented in that, and I've given briefings on this, what he documented was that as he went to find out, where did these hostile to God, hostile to Christianity, where did these cases come from? He got into the correspondence of the justices, the correspondence file. He was a journalist, and he was able to get into access to documents and did a very thorough historical judgment. And lo and behold, he found in the correspondence files of the justices that there was correspondence in there about applying a Masonic justice to the United States of America. And he got into the notion that maybe this had something to do with Freemasonry. As a Catholic, he knew that was a problem. And he also looked at the New Age magazine from 1921 to about 1981. New Age magazine at that time was the official publication of the Scottish Rite Freemasonry in America, published in Washington, D.C., and he found really very revealing and disturbing information that from 1941 to 1971, a majority of the members of the Supreme Court were high-degreed Masons, and that they had, in fact, acknowledged that they were applying Masonic justice to the United States. In fact, Alice Bailey, and I'm sure you're familiar with her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, she was a historian and a high up in the New Age movement, and her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, she pointed out that the way the New Age, America, would be prepared for the New Age in the 20th century, the three channels of change would be the Masonic fraternity, the church in America, and the educational field. Those would be the three primary vectors of change. And when she said that, she said the masonry is so important because it is, as Alice Bailey said, the custodian of the law. It is the home of the mysteries. It is the custodian of the law. And it's very clear that when these cases that set us on an entirely new track in the United States, let me give your listeners an idea. Four times the U.S. Supreme Court said America was a Christian nation between 1844 and 1931. It was during the time when Franklin Roosevelt was president of the United States, and under the leadership or the controlling ship of Felix Frankfurter, who came on the court in about 1939, he had a lot of influence on what was going on among these high-degreed Masons, and he was able to help coordinate not only with the ACLU, but be very persuasive among some of his fellow members of the U.S. Supreme Court. So what you're seeing next Wednesday, this oral argument, all of the lawyers, including those that are supposed to be protecting the Ten Commandments, which was displayed not as a religious document in Kentucky, but as a actual page from February the 2nd, 1983, in the Congressional Record. It came out of the edition of the Congressional Record from the Supreme Court itself. It was not a religious display. It was an official governmental document display. So what's going to be decided here is whether you can cut America off from official government documents that acknowledge that America is a Christian nation or a nation under God, or that it's the Ten Commandments is the foundation of American law and civil government. So both sides will be assuming and presuming that the religion clauses of the First Amendment govern the case. That is an assumption they'll both be making. They're in agreement on a false assumption. So a pseudo-event will occur with pseudo-facts created by the media and the information services in America.
Well, I think it's so interesting you bring up Alice Bailey, and for our listeners who do not know who she was a leader of the occult movement in the United States during the first half of the 20th century, and a demonic spirit that actually channeled a number of books to her. That demonic spirit was named Joie Cool, and the book you talked about, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, was one of her last books, and of course that too was channeled to her by this demonic spirit. So what you are really describing is the plan that comes from the dark side, and the average American finds that, oh, that couldn't be true. That sort of thing doesn't go on. That's X-Files. I just got something put out by the Lucifer Trust, used to be the Lucifer Publishing House, talking about how wonderful it is now the United Nations is here, how we will soon have the world government. But you see, we will have a new world government and a new world religion, because the whole purpose is to destroy Christianity. And boy, they're doing a pretty good job of it, with the help, unfortunately, of many of our leaders who refuse to address the occult forces that are working behind the scenes, attacking the very foundations upon which this country was based.
Well, that's what I say. If you understand that the lawyers, and I finished second in my class in law school, I graduated in 1971, I knew nothing about the foundations of American law and civil government. It was not until I met David Barton in 1990, and we worked together both in Kentucky and elsewhere, and I basically jettisoned what I'd been taught in some of the finest institutions in our society, include both military and civilian, and began to look at the Constitution, the Declaration, the foundations of American law and civil government, and come to find out it's very different than what I thought. But most lawyers assume that, because when you go to law school, you don't read the Constitution, you read what the Supreme Court or the courts say about the Constitution, and you begin to understand that it is a growing and a changing and an evolving document. And of course, law in every language, and your listeners may not know this, most lawyers don't know what the word law means fixed. And what we've been having in America since the 1870s, when Darwinians captured Harvard Law School and Harvard College, we have evolving or changing law, which is an oxymoron.
And then, of course, we have rule by man. We do not have rule by law. And, of course, that's how you undermine and destroy the fabric of our society. Well, I guess this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray, and we're going to be back here just after this this break. And, of course, we'll be talking more about the significance of the case that's going to be coming up. But you have to understand that the foundation of our freedom is based upon God and the Ten Commandments. And you erode that, you destroy it. Is it any wonder that we see the breakdown in our society? We see the wanton shooting and wanton killing, and And we see a whole race of young people, a generation of young people, who don't seem to have a moral foundation. Well, it should be pretty obvious why.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule, just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Colonel Ron Ray, and we're talking about this court, that the case is going to the Supreme Court, and of course the disputed historical documents that they're so concerned that are being displayed are things like the Declaration of Independence, the national motto In God We Trust, the preamble to the Constitution of Kentucky, which mentions God, as does the Constitution of every state in the Union today. But then they'll all be unconstitutional if this goes through. The Mayflower Compact, the actual page from the Congressional Record that talks about the Ten Commandments and three presidential proclamations that were given, people like Abraham Lincoln and others that mentioned God. And of course, this is all in the name of freedom. What about the rights of the people, the vast majority who would like to have this sort of thing displayed to be a constant reminder that our freedom comes from God and that those who will not be ruled by God will eventually be ruled by tyrants?
Well, it's an interesting thing that you say that again. We're being separated from the foundations and our original history. The official and permanent history of American civil government and its law will be separated because we've seen a pernicious effort by conservative lawyers and often and obviously by ACLU lawyers and by activist judges but applying the 10 principles of Masonic justice. So by transferring America's official history, which is filled with references to God as the source of our law and liberties, to the category of religion, and taking it, the ACLU and the Supreme Court and the lawyers involved can establish a government free of God's absolute truth and based on situational ethics and moral relativism, which will silence any uncomfortable truth that speaks from the graves of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson, whoever many ACLUs and the NEA teachers will tell you was a deist, he said, "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath?" And what's going to happen during the oral argument next Wednesday? Most Americans were told that the case that came out of California, the Pledge of Allegiance case, was dismissed on a technicality and was an insignificant case. The Pledge of Allegiance case was Elk Grove United Unified School District versus Newdow, and it was a monumental landmark non-decision because there were three very important opinions, and both sides, including Rene Brith, the Anti-Defamation League, the petitioners, the ACLU, are all citing Newdow and Sandra Day O'Connor's opinion in Newdow, in which she comes up with a new test to replace the Lemon test, which has been in effect for about 30 years. The new test will be ceremonial deism. The only way there can be any document or reference to God has to be completely eliminated from any religious content. It's ceremonial deism. There could be no prayer, no worship, and worst of all, divine providence cannot be acknowledged or appealed to. And of course, the Declaration of Independence is based upon the fact that the founders pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to each other and to the Lord with a firm reliance on divine providence. The reason they did it was they could appeal to the supreme ruler of the universe and that God and his government were the only hope that they had standing up to the greatest army and navy at the time. So that basically what we're going to see is the media told us that the Pledge of Allegiance case was a non-decision, but it's both all sides are appealing to Sandra Day O'Connor's lengthy decision in Newdow, which was dismissed on a technicality, but you got to read the opinions. And in their briefs before the Supreme Court that very few people are reading, and the media hasn't mentioned at all, they're going to argue that a new test should be adopted called ceremonial deism, which will mean we can no longer acknowledge divine providence. Let me say this. I've gone through every inaugural address from George Washington to George W. and even Bill Clinton. 100% of the inaugural addresses recognize the creator of the Declaration of Independence. 100% use prayer and petition to ask for God's blessing and providence during their administration and acknowledge that was essential to creation of America and its continuation. So this year, people didn't pay a lot of attention, but the ACLU called on there be no prayer at George W. Bush's second inaugural. And, of course, that was rejected. But that's the first time they've really taken that position. And what's going to be argued next week could be a fact that there's nobody there to defend divine providence, which is one of the names of God. And can the Supreme Court change God's name? We may find out when the opinion comes down late in the spring or early in the summer.
And, of course, the quotation you gave from Thomas Jefferson concluded in the words, "And I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever." We'll be back in just a moment with Colonel Rod and Ray, and, of course, we'll welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Oh.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading.
This is Health Journal.
This is Dr. Stan, and we're going to be back in just a moment with the Colonel Ron Ray, but we carry a number of books upon the Christian history of this country. One of them is called The Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Timothy LaHaye, and we certainly recommend this. It's a beautiful little book. We carry Bill Federer's book, America, God, and Country, which over 800 pages with wonderful quotations you need to read and memorize and hold in your heart. We have a four-tape set that's The Faith of Our Founding Fathers, or The Foundations of Our Faith. We have the book The Abandonment Theology, going into the fact that the church in many ways has simply abandoned America. They say all we have to do is just preach the gospel, but we have no responsibility for the depravity that is present in the nation. After all, God told us not to be involved. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray, and we're, of course, dealing with the Supreme Court case that is going to be heard very, very soon. Now, did you enter into a brief on this at all, Ron?
No, we were thinking about doing it. There were 25 or 30 briefs filed, and as we began to talk to friends at the AFA and members of the Arlington Group and some of our, there was a lot of ground being covered. Herb Titus filed a brief, Jay Sekulow at the American Center for Law and Justice, so it looked like a ton of work was being done. But as we began to explore the first round of briefs that were filed in the Kentucky case, and in preparation for the fact that there was a later filing line in the Texas case, we were stunned. Dr. Linda Jeffrey does research for us. We're stunned in reading the cases, 25 or so cases, to find out that the non-decision of the Supreme Court in Newdow last year, the so-called Pledge of Allegiance case, was being appealed to by both sides as a new test that the Supreme Court would adopt that would be called ceremonial deism, and when the way it was defined by Sandra Day O'Connor from Arizona, she would be no prayer. Ceremonial deism, of course, you know, deism is not Christianity. It's not one nation under God. It's the notion of an unknowable God that created everything and has no interaction with human beings at all, doesn't hear prayer, doesn't have its government, doesn't have any say. It just wound it all up and let it go. Ceremonial deism would be there'd be no divine providence, no appeal to divine providence. And as I said, every president is in inaugural address. Thomas Jefferson, in his second inaugural address, said, "I shall need too the favor of that being in whose hands we are, who has covered our infancy with his providence and our riper years with his wisdom and power." Similarly, James Madison, of course, the father of the Constitution, and they always appeal to a separation of church and state, comes out of that famous Danbury Baptist letter of President Thomas Jefferson, and here's Thomas Jefferson talking about divine providence. What we've been cut off from is the official and permanent history of American civil government. David McCullough, a pretty good historian, also a member of Skull and Bones from Yale, but he gave the keynote address, a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner, gave the keynote address back in October of 2002 at the Library of Congress in the National Book Fair with James Billington standing right at his side. He said, "We're raising a generation of historical illiterates, that this ignorance is dangerous to American liberty, and we face a foe today who believes in enforced ignorance. We don't." Got a standing ovation from a very liberal Washington, D.C. audience, and the foe, the domestic enemy he was referring to who believes in enforced ignorance, is not on a jihad. They're not Muslim clerics. They're not Islamic fundamentalists. That they're people that have been undermining America in this country for many, many, many decades.
And they know exactly what they're doing, a little bit at a time, never too much, just back away. And then, of course, the Supreme Court comes up with a good decision, everybody applauds and thinks they're going to be fine. All we need to do is get a Republican president in and everything's going to be fine. And seven of the current Supreme Court justices that has given a majority to the liberal cause, seven of them were appointed by Republicans. So it's the old idea, you never give the suckers an even chance. You never give them a choice, and I think we can pretty well tell the sort of Supreme Court justice we're going to get from the current Republican administration by the appointment of Alberto Gonzalez to the Justice Department, that'd be Attorney General, and, of course, the interim appointment of William Pryor, the man who destroyed the career of the Judge Roy Moore, and he was rewarded for destroying Judge Roy Moore, who of course supports the Ten Commandments, by being given an interim appointment to the federal bench by none other than our current president. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Tennessee. Mike, what do you have to say? Have a question for our guest?
Well, I have a statement. I'm not an attorney, sir, and so I hope you'll bear with me. But I think we're not using common sense. So.
Well, prefer a question rather than a long dissertation.
No, it's not going to be long. My understanding is that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Now, if you've got the Constitution in one hand and the Supreme Court decision in the other, for instance, the Constitution says we have the right to the free practice of religion, and I'm paraphrasing, and the Supreme Court says we don't. Now, which do we follow, the Constitution or the Supreme Court? See, the whole thing is idiotic. We got a bunch of Masonic judges who worship the devil, whose goal is to bring in a new secular order, and we're bringing the Constitution before them. It's ridiculous.
All right, Colonel, do you have any comment at all about
that? Well, that's the point I began. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but I quoted a librarian of the Library of Congress, Daniel J. Boorstin, who was the librarian from 75 to 87, and he writes a book in 1961 before he's the librarian, America, that was entitled The Image, A Guide to Pseudo-Events in America. Americans live in a world of pseudo-facts, which is created for them by their own media. Some people call that the deliberate dumbing down of the United States of America. Herbert Hoover said, "We've heard the same point of view over and over from all points of view in the media so long it's destroyed America's capacity for independent judgment. It's subtly designed to control American thought and opinion." He wrote that in 1934. So I agree with the premise that the caller's making down there, and I certainly appreciate the volunteers from Tennessee going back to John Sevier and one thing and another. We haven't been taught our history. We're not teaching it at home. We're not learning it in church. You're certainly not going to learn it in government schools. And that is the problem, is that we're not one nation under God, we're one nation under lawyers.
All right, Mike, do you have another comment?
Yeah, let me add this. There's something I also believe in the law. And believe me, I know you're a brilliant man, and I feel like a fool discussing the law with his layman. But I believe there's something called the separation of powers of the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And what we have here is the judiciary making law.
That's correct, and it's been doing that since the Roosevelt administration.
Well, that's unconstitutional right there. And what I'm saying is that when these decisions come down, they conflict with the Constitution. I know if you pass a statute that conflicts with the Constitution, it's null and void. I mean, that's a principle of law, and also Marbury and Mabry brought that out, and that was a judicial decision by the Supreme Court. So we've got Supreme Court decisions in conflict with the Constitution, and we're following them. Now, we as Christians, Jesus Christ told us to spread the gospel, and we're sitting back like a bunch of idiots and let a bunch of satanic masons make our law. And, you know, it's common knowledge in the Congress that you can't get a real Christian appointed to the Supreme Court.
Well, thank you so much for your opinion. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, let me make a comment on Mike's last point. It's interesting is that we don't, obviously, a lot of the folks we send to Washington now don't take their oath seriously. They don't fear God. You know, at the end it says, so help me God, I'll support and defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies foreign and domestic, and so help me God is a prayer. But if you the point about separation, three separate but equal branches of government, the point always was there's always been tension between the executive, the president, the Congress, the legislature, and the judiciary. Of course, the founding fathers listed them in the order of Congress, president, judiciary. The judiciary, separate but equal, but it was the weakest of the branches. And many of the founding fathers were concerned that the two branches would get together in some way. If one of the other branches got together with the judiciary, we'd be in real trouble. And of course, when the Solicitor General or when the other governments, the other agencies are usurped, when Congress is usurped, they forget to look in the Constitution, which clearly provides in Article 3, Section 2, that the Congress will make exceptions and regulate the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court and the federal courts. They actually have the power to simply pass a majority statute. They don't have to amend the Constitution, which is a pseudo-event. All they have to do is pass a statute. It says that the Constitution, the Supreme Court doesn't have jurisdiction over the Ten Commandments. The Supreme Court doesn't have jurisdiction over prayer in a public school. The Supreme Court doesn't have jurisdiction over abortion. I mean, and that, it's right there in the plain language of Article 3, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution. So let me say one other thing. What we need is common sense. What we need is common law. And I tell you, most lawyers have been indoctrinated, like most pastors have been indoctrinated. They come out of their seminaries, they might as be called cemeteries, and they lose their faith, and the lawyers come out of law school, and they've learned a changing law. They've learned that they give points for the most innovative arguments instead of the precedents that should be binding us still, going back to the Bible and going back to Magna Carta and what have you.
Amen to that. Amen to that, and I really think it's so vitally important that the Americans really do learn the background of our freedom. Let's see, Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I wanted to make one more statement.
All right, fine.
You know, I hear that attorneys are studying case law. There should be no such thing as case law.
Well, in point of fact, that's a good point. I mean, that's the idea is that if you go back to Blackstone. Now, Blackstone, what Blackstone did to do the favor for, I think it was providential, he was the leading lawyer of his day in England. It was published in 1765, but Americans read Blackstone's commentaries on the law, four volumes. What he did was he collected all the cases which decided points and then showed you and put it together in an orderly fashion so you could look at the cases about property law, because most of the decisions were not made by statute. They were case law, but once the concept of stare decisis, once a decision is decided, then it remains decided, and then people rely on that understanding that could be, that most of the common law was judicial decisions. And they didn't change. You were bound on something a judge had done 200 or 300 years before. And what he said, Blackstone said, most clearly in his, he said that basically the law of nature and of nature God all law has to be consistent with the laws of nature and of nature's job, or it's anti-law. It's not law. Anything inconsistent with the laws of nature and of nature's God, and of course that's the phrase that's right in the preamble to the Declaration of Independence.
It seems to me we're now living in an oligarchy rather than a constitutional republic, and we need to stop it, you know.
Well, that's what we do 5 hours a day, Mike, and of course that's why the Colonel is doing what he's doing, is trying to get this information out. And before we go on, Colonel, would you like to get your website out so people would know how to get in touch with you, get your material from First Principles?
Yes, you can take a look at firstprinciplespress.org. Copies of briefs. We've been fighting the attack against the prayer in the armed forces at time of war by the American Jewish Committee, the Anti-Defamation League, the American Civil Liberties Union. But it's firstprinciplespress.org. You might all, if you're interested about the marriage issue and the attack on marriage and the how we remove legal protections for marriage, women, and children, rsvpamerica.org. is another focus of ours in trying to preserve and protect God's original church and God's original government, that is the marriage compact.
I'm going to let you go and make one last point. We're on a verge of a Christian Holocaust in this country. And if we don't wake up, the same thing that happened in Russia is going to happen here in America.
I wouldn't disagree with you at all. Thanks so much for calling,
sir.
Mike. Well, let's go to Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a quick question for our guest?
Yes, thanks. And fitting your proposition is the bill to restrict jurisdiction of the federal courts on ruling on marriage. So, and Phyllis Schlafly supporting that as well. That's H.R. 3313.
Is that a statute or is that the constitutional amendment effort?
No, it's a
statute.
It's a statute, yes.
In other words, under Article 3, Section 2, to limit the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court and the inferior federal courts with regard to redefining marriage.
And, of course, to say that the Supreme Court cannot intervene at all in what the Congress has decided, because under Article 3, Section 2, as you pointed out, they have the right. The Congress has that right. It was given to them in the Constitution. I just wish they had the courage to use it more often.
Well, there hadn't been a major effort to try to do that since the 50s, but it basically says, it clearly makes the point. Basically says the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. Couldn't be plainer. You don't need a lawyer. You don't need anybody to tell you how clear that is. So we both know Phyllis, and if she's got an effort going under Article 3, Section 2 to limit jurisdiction of the courts with regard to in any way. But by the way, just 50 years ago, marriage law was strictly a matter of state law, and was regulated by the states. And there's an area now, we have now a huge federal criminal law. Now we have a huge federal family law that's evolving.
Okay, anything else, Roger?
Yeah, just to repeat, the bill is H.R. 3313, and God bless you all.
Thanks so very much.
Thank you, Roger.
Okay, fine. And, we've got just about the 3 more minutes before I have to let you go. What is the message you would like to leave with our listeners today? Why is this subject so important? Why should everybody really be concerned about what the Supreme Court's doing? How is that going to affect us?
Well, obviously, I gave a class on this whole matter up in Indianapolis on Freemasonry and American justice some years ago, and the week before I went up there, there was a New York Times front page of one of the intersections. It showed a typical American sitting on the front page of the front steps of the Supreme Court, kind of looking bewildered and looking out towards the mall from the Supreme Court building, and the headline was, "The Court Rules and America Changes." Now, I can assure you one thing, that they've become spiritual overseers since the late 30s. And I think Americans, first of all, need to know their history. They need to know what America was intended to be. And then they need to have that stand on that history, defend that history, when they have a measure, they have a rule, they have a guideline to go by, and they can see that this other has been created as pseudo-facts and pseudo-events, often created for us in our own media. And they can't realize that Satan is the father of all lies, and if we'll believe and act upon a lie, then we're going to lose important ground. So we need to really know the truth, and the truth shall set us free.
And I think people have to study the Constitution. They have to study the writings that were many, many years ago. I think that the Supreme Court decision in the case of, the United States versus the Church of the Holy Trinity back in 1891 or 1892, we actually have copies of that. We'll be glad to send it to you, where the Supreme Court held that the United States was a Christian nation. There was no question there was a Christian nation. The Holy Trinity case lays it out very clearly. But you see, they never teach that in law school today, do they, Ron?
No, they don't. In fact, there were four cases between 1844 and 1931. As recently as 1931, the phrase, and the reason for that is not that you have to be a Christian that you live here, but that the foundations of American law and civil government were based on principles from the Old and New Testament, fixed principles of the Old and New Testament. That's why we can say we're a government of laws, fixed laws that don't change every 10 minutes, and as opposed to a nation of men who will tell you from that is arbitrary, capricious, and unreasonable, and that's what we are now, under a nation of men, not a nation of laws.
And of course, with the destruction of our Christian foundations of this country comes the destruction of the freedom of this country. Colonel, thank you so much for being with us. Maybe we can get you on again when we find out what the Supreme Court in their wisdom decides to do to further.
All right, pleasure being with you, Stan. The best of Barbara.
Bye-bye. God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention to you that we do carry the book Behind the Lodge Door by Paul Fisher, going into the fact that the Masons controlled the Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 over a 30-year period. Now, why doesn't anybody ever tell you that? Why doesn't the media tell you that? Very simply, Paul Fisher wrote these articles to the editors of both the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. Neither the conservative or the liberal publications would publish it. Why? Because they're all tied into the Brotherhood of Darkness, into the ruling journalistic elite that control our reality. And they can't let the American people know about the spiritual forces that are at work. If you don't understand Masonry, you really need to get some of the material we have on Holy Alliances by James Wardner. Excellent, going into the background of that. And, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will explain to you from the Masonic writings. Now, you have to understand, the average Mason really doesn't understand Masonry. It's only when you get to a certain point and when you are taken into the inner circle that you really understand what it's about. We have 2 4 tape sets on Masonry. We have a video on Masonry, and of course we have the books we've already mentioned. But if you're going to get one book, let me suggest Brotherhood of Darkness, because it will give you the references in the Masonic writings to where Albert Pike brags how wonderful it is that they're able to deceive the average Mason, because of course he's not worthy of knowing the truth. That truth is reserved for the princes of Masonry and the elite of Masonry. But the average individual will never know that Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity. That phrase comes from Manly P. Hall, who, when he died, the Scottish Rite magazine said he was often referred to as the greatest of all Masonic philosophers. Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity that worships Lucifer. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is on the front lines of this battle, and quite frankly, if you agree with what we say, if you agree there's a problem, please seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And when you join the Radio Liberty family, you get our four best tapes of the month. You get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you're helping us as we reach out 5 hours a day across America. By radio and by internet, by satellite, and 4 hours a day on shortwave. Please tell others about our programs, and so they can listen to all the programs. Of course, they won't get much accomplished, but at least they will get the education to help us in this epic struggle to determine if this nation or any nation under God can long endure. Because I fear for this country when I reflect that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. Well, let me mention that we're still offering the cases of Brotherhood of Darkness. We're well over halfway now getting the number of cases sold that we can do this large printing we're planning on doing. But if you'd like to get 62 copies of my book, ordinarily they're $12.95. You can get 62 copies for $124 plus the shipping charge, which is going to be about $25, almost anywhere in the United States. And we'll, some places it'll be more than that, but we'll pick up the difference. We want to send it out to United Parcel because we want to make sure you get it. So you'll get 62 copies for $124 plus shipping. You can sell them. You can give them away. Anything you'd like to do, of course, but we want you to get that book. Why? Because it's an excellent means of reaching people to change their lives. And I know that Masons have read the book and their lives have changed. They suddenly realized that they'd been used all this time. They never knew before. Albert Pike, the father of modern-day Scottish Rite Masonry, looked down upon them as unworthy and stupid and foolish. They were never allowed to know the real truth about what Masonry was about, and it's about the continuation of the ancient mystery religions, tracing their back four or five. Of course, they trace their origins back 6,000 years, but they are simply a continuation of the mystery religions. And what has been their goal? The Novo Ordo Seclorum, you'll see outlined and printed on the back of your dollar bill beneath the pyramid, which is a Masonic emblem, but is also an emblem of the ancient mystery religions. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. Why is it on the back of the dollar bill? Why, of course, it's the inside joke. Up above that is inscribed, "In God We Trust." But what God? Not the God of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, there have been two forces in America since its inception, one the dark side, the other the Christian. And you can get this off of my newsletters. You need to go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and read our newsletters. And then remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And if you'd like a free copy of any of our newsletters, our November newsletters, tells how they're poisoning our children with fluoride. If you want more documentation, we carry Chris Bryson's excellent book, The Fluoride Deception, or Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. They're poisoning our children with mercury, and they tell you, yes, there may be a 600% in autism, but we can tell you the government has said that mercury in the vaccines is not responsible, so bring a child down. We want to give the six-year-old child with a developing brain an adult dose of mercury that'll be about 50 times the accepted dose. But don't you worry, that's not going to poison your child, but we certainly don't want you to have people eating fish because there's mercury in it. Well, the mercury in the fish is far less dangerous than the mercury they're giving to our children, and they've destroyed the minds of so many children. According to the CDC, one out of every six children in America has a neurodevelopmental abnormality, and it didn't happen by accident. You need to see my video, None Dare Call It Genocide. They're available, 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.